Unreal. Uncensored. Unradio.
CliffCentral.com.
And you're listening to Animal Central. Wednesday rolls around again. Time for us to talk about all things animal. I'm Sharon Dale. I'm here with Jonas and Claire. Hi, Jono.
How's it going, Sharon?
It's good. It's good. I thought we'd start the show today. We had an awesome day yesterday.
So good. We were out of the office, yep. Out in the fresh air.
Yep, we did, because we attended the WODAC Media Day yesterday. Yep. So what that was to get all the media together to tell everybody what's going to happen at WODAC this year, all the events, all the celebrities that are going to be there. Mm-hmm. And of course, we're hosting with Complete Pet, we're doing the Celebrity Dog Challenge. Mm-hmm. That is going to be so cool. We got celebrities that are going to run the agility course with trained agility dogs. And people are going to make pledges while this is all happening. And at the end of the day, all the money raised is going to go back to shelters. And WODAC's actually going to double that amount.
Yeah, for every rand that they make, they're
going to double it. So that is great news. And we've got our own Casper de Vries.
Yes, Casper.
He's one of the celebrities, which I must just say, yesterday at the event, he just made it.
He was so funny. He was in his element. You know, he loves animals and yes. he loves talking to people. And he was just so happy there. But he's sort of like the star of the show, I feel.
Oh, he always is. Yeah. And I think what I really found so funny is, you know, WODAC stands for World of Dogs and Cats. And he changed it to, it was Women or Dogs Against Children. Yeah. So that was quite good. And then we've got Damon Calvari. Yeah. That's also going to be very
Because we all know he's
watch.
A big dog lover.
Mm, yeah. Yes. And then we've got you, Jono. You're going to be representing Animal Central.
I'll be representing us because, you know, Sharon, you're going to be busy with your own canine stand at WODAC. And but then also we've got some other actresses.
We've got Stevie French. We're working with a couple of other great celebrities that are going to be there.
Are we allowed to reveal them all?
Yes, we actually can. Francois Leroux, Stevie French. We're hoping Nicole Flint will be there as well. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a fun day. That's on the 19th of July. That's on the Sunday. So get out to WODAC this year. I mean, it's 17th, 18th, and 19th at Gallagher Estate.
And apparently, awesome as they walk in the door, they're going to see your stand, Sharon.
Yes, you walk in, Canine Zone stand is there. We're there representing. We're going to do all the magazines. We got great deals on greenies for cats this year, courtesy of Darrow. So that's going to be great. I think they normally go for about 74 Rand. We got them for 25 Rand. Mm-hmm. And then again, a lot of the proceeds that we get is also going to go back to Soweto Animal Rescue.
Awesome.
We had Jerry Silwani in the studio.
Great guy.
And we're going to give proceeds to him because they need it and deserve it.
Well, also because of WODAC, we've met a lot of new guests that are going to be joining on us the show. Lots of interesting people. Yeah. The lady who teaches her dogs to dance.
That was Ronnie Magic.
And they're all rescued and disabled dogs. Yeah,
some were deaf, some were blind, and they did all these amazing tricks. We got to meet Neapolitan Mastiffs. That was scary.
Yeah, which is the dog like Hagrid in Harry Potter. That's how I identify with those dogs. They're
huge.
And I
had a good laugh at that yesterday, Jono, because we asked this young chap, are these dogs fine with people? Because they really look grumpy, happy to be there. And he goes, yeah, they're fine.
Just not with
strangers. And as he says this, John has got his face 10 centimeters from the dog.
I've always been like that. I've had to learn the hard way a few times, you know. But, you know, when you love dogs, you just want to get up there and touch them.
Cuddle.
But this is actually something I wanted to talk about just before we get into our other story, Sharon, is having that need to pet dogs is fine. But when it comes to service dogs, it can really do the person and the dog a disfavor if you are going up to them and petting them. Recently, a young girl whose dog was supposed to alert her of her impending epileptic attack failed to do so because he was only a very young puppy, a very young dog rather, and he was distracted by people petting him and he didn't warn her. She subsequently thought she had 10 minutes before the attack when he did warn her, but it was actually much less than that. She sustained some facial injuries and things like that because she didn't have time to call anyone for help. She fell on the floor. She got carpet burn. So this story has been circulating on social media and that's how I picked up on it. And I think think that's an important issue to remember that these dogs are actually at work, and as cute as they are, because they are always the most beautiful dogs.
Yeah, you want to go and say hi.
These service dogs. Yeah, you really have to be careful and maintain that professional boundary with them.
Yes, because they've got this focus, and if you distract them, they lose that focus.
Exactly, exactly.
And it could be dangerous, very dangerous for the owner.
And then another thing I wanted to just bring up is, it is winter now, but I think it still applies, and that is when you take your dog for a walk, to remember that their heat pads are not heat proof.
They
are
their feet, on their feet. Yeah, yeah, their paw pads.
And yeah, this is also another story that's doing the rounds, and you actually see these dogs that have sort of cysts burnt into them, or it's horrible.
Right.
So they say the test is, before you take the dog for the walk, feel the pavement. If you can hold your hand there for 30 seconds without sustaining a burn, it's fine. If you cannot, it is not fine to walk your dog on that paving.
I think especially in Africa,
exactly.
In South Africa, that tar heats up dramatically.
Well, we must remember when summer does come around again, just to bring that up again.
You can get little booties, you know that. You can actually get little booties to put on them so that they don't. But I don't think you should ever take your dog for a walk in the heat of the day. Early morning, late afternoon is the best time, because they can get heat stroke as well as burning their little paddy paws.
Exactly.
So not a good idea. But now the rest of the show, well, just going back to Wodak.
Yes.
I was going to say yesterday, one of the dogs that I enjoyed the most was, did you see the hairless dogs?
I saw the hairless cats.
Oh, and the hairless cats.
Yeah.
They were awesome.
Yes, yes.
So we saw a lot of rare breeds there. We found our cover star for the next
issue. You
the
were
rough
actually
collie.
Doing some model scouting
yes,
while you were
I
there.
Was.
And there was a rough collie that really impressed you. And
our cover boy, his
name's
Teddy.
He's going to be your new star on your
magazine. Yep, he's going to be the October issue where we're doing rough collies. So,
such beautiful dogs.
You got to always talent scout and all the rest.
Exactly.
But no, it was a fun day. So remember to get out to Wodak. And we do have two sets of double tickets to give away to Wodak. I will be posting it after 1 o'clock on our Canine Zone Facebook page. Go on there. We'll ask you a question about the current Canine Zone magazine. And yeah, stand a chance to win tickets. It really is an event not to be missed.
Yeah, it's their 20th anniversary this year.
Correct.
And I think it's going to be bigger
than
ever.
Cats, dogs, reptiles. Oh, we also met some reptiles yesterday.
Yeah, yes, of course. It's all animals. Hey, yeah. I know lots of the time we talk about dogs and cats, but it's really about everything.
Everything. And now today on the show, we've got Sonia and Grant coming up. We're going to be talking about nutrition in aging dogs, how you can help them and how it can prevent obesity, arthritis, all those kind of things. So Sonia and Grant are from Champion Pet Foods, who do Origin and Arcana. We're going to be finding out more from them. And then you've got somebody waiting for us on the line, something very exciting.
Okay, well, let's just do a bit of background. It was about a month or so ago where we get our messages to screen here, Sharon, and people often send us messages. And there was a message sent about from Justin. He's from the Jagamoro Predator Park in Limpopo. He obviously has a love for these big cats. And the way I understand the story is their land is under threat. People are threatening to evict them. And these cats, where else are they going to go? Justin did agree to join us today, but unfortunately there was a crisis at the Predator Park and he had to return back. So, Justin, thank you for joining us via the phone.
Morning, Jonathan. How are you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
Well, it's actually turned out to be one of the most worst days I've ever had in my life.
Justin, tell us the story. What's going on there?
Okay. What actually happened was back in last year, the property went under liquidation. So with that, it went under quite a bit. It was about 8 million and it went under. And we actually had property that we could sell off just to save the park, to keep the cats at the reserve, and we could have carried on with that. And with that, the liquidators haven't given us the excess money that was supposed to be paid back to us within 3 months. And now, this morning when I was on my way to you guys, I got a phone call with my mom, hysterical, screaming, that they've come in to dart the cats. They shot one of the cats because one of the cats got out. So they've loaded 5 of my Bengal tigers already. And it's like,
oh, Justin.
Justin, this is terrible news.
What a tragedy.
You know,
if everybody came into the park, we are in the Bengal area. If you guys need to get more information, we are up on Facebook, so you guys can go see everything, how the cats are lying all over, how they've been darted, how they've been loaded. And it's just absolutely disgusting how people can actually do things like this.
Justin, so who's doing this?
Basically, it was the owner. It was basically the owner that bought the part of the property. But now there was a bit of a dispute in the contract where we had to pay in to buy our portion of the land back, which is 2.1 million, which there is money in the account, and he just refuses to pay it. Sign it off now to say that the land belongs to us.
Yes.
Now, all of a sudden, he gave us a 90-day contract, but within that 90-day, we counted normal working day from Monday to Friday, and the worst of all, he did this in December, so he counted weekends, he counted Christmas days, and everything included in those 90 days. So the minute that we put the money in the account, we thought, okay, we were for the 90 days, and he says, no, too little, too late, and we had an eviction notice. And we've been fighting this case for the last 3-4 months. And today, he's actually done it, that he's trying to remove the case.
Justin,
this is terrible. Well,
we are having a hard time hearing you. It is a bad line. I really do want to get you back when things have calmed down there. I do just want to ask before you go, where are they taking your big cats? Where
I have no idea. That's the worst thing about it. They've loaded 5 of the cats and they've wounded one of them, so I have no idea what's happening with these cats because I'm on my way there now. Mm-hmm. And with that, I've also broken down on the side of the road.
Oh,
because I've been driving
my word,
a bit too far,
Justin.
So I'm busy waiting.
Now, when you say big cats, what are they? Lions, tigers?
I'm talking about 21 big cats of Bengal tigers, Siberian tigers, white lions, brown lions, jaguars. I've got Canadian timber wolves. I've got like a whole, I promise you, if you had to go look at my Facebook page of Justin Tiger Boy Fernandez, Sugamara Predator Park, you'll actually see that these cats are properly loved. They looked after properly.
No, we can hear that. Yes.
Correct. They don't even fight with each other so much. I spend between 60,000 to 70,000 rand out of my own pocket just to feed that. I don't even rely on people to donate because I know that the meat that I give my cats is better than what most people get in their homes.
And Justin, can't you get backup from like the NSPCA or somebody like that, the police?
Everybody's been getting involved to try and help stop this. Apparently, people are blockading the gates that these people don't leave there with the cats. And so there is a lot of people that are getting involved now to try and keep these cats at the park. But unfortunately, I don't know which cat got hurt.
Justin.
Apparently, the one got shot, and they refused that my mom must go look at the cat because he's got badly hurt in the face.
Oh,
and,
man.
I don't know.
This is just tragic.
And I don't know if you guys remember the story about Pines of the Tiger. This is how my whole park started with the cat that went missing back in 2010.
Oh, right, yes.
So this is the home and the heart of Pines of that actually caught everybody's attention back in 2010.
Oh, Justin, well, I'm sure Jono joins me. Our hearts are with you. And be strong, go fight the good fight, and get your babies back.
Well, Justin,
yeah, no, I have to.
Is somebody helping you out? I know are you still stranded on the side of the road? I'm very worried about you, man. You know?
Yeah, I'm still stranded there, but I want to see if I can get the car going because I know a bit about mechanics, so hopefully. But if anybody can try and help me out, yeah, I'm on the Maloto Road on the R573 towards Marble Hall.
Okay, well, Justin, see what you can do there. I will give you a call after the show just to make sure you did come right there. I'm really sorry to hear about this. We are going to get you back in here. Just good luck with everything, man, and take care of yourself and do the best with your cats, eh?
Thanks, Justin.
Thank you so much. I appreciate
it. Thanks. Bye.
Cheers. Oof, okay, well,
this was emotional.
Now you can see why, you know, he was supposed to be in studio and, you know, it was a 3-hour drive here. He was, I think, very close to us and he had to turn around and drive back.
I mean, it just, you know, the poor man, you can hear how much he loves the big cats that he takes care of.
I know, I follow them on Facebook and on Twitter and you must see the photos and how these cats interact with them. And
what was his Facebook page again?
It's at Jugamaro Predator Park.
Okay.
On Twitter, it's @SaveJugamaro.
Yes.
But, yeah.
Well, please, Jono, you after the show, let us know, keep us posted. And next week we'll probably do a follow-up and let you know what happened there. Or follow his Facebook wall, and I'm sure he'll keep you posted there as well.
We've got to get him in. Just to throw forward to next week, we are chatting with the author Mary Beth Haynes about the power of pets and how they creep up on us, how they become so involved in our lives. It's really going to be an interesting conversation. But, yeah, let's talk nutrition right after this.
Yes, right after this.
CliffCentral.com.
I'm from Australia. Thank you. All right, good night. Thank you. It's pretty good. 14.5 hour flight. I just had to do that. That's pretty good. I left my home. I left my dog. I got a big German Shepherd at home. Anyone got a dog? Has anyone got a cat? Cats are crap. No one likes cats. Watch, make some noise in the room if you're a cat person. Make some noise in the room if you're a dog person. That's because cats are crap. No one likes them because they are scary and unpredictable and will jump on your face at any second with no warning. You're sitting there watching TV and a cat from behind the couch, roaring like, what the hell was that? I don't even own a cat. Where did that thing come from? See, a dog might jump on your face, but it'll put a little look on its face like, I think I'm going to jump on your face. And you got time to go, no, you're not, you little bastard, get away from me. But a cat just from behind the TV. As I take my big dog down to the park, the off-lead area, so he can play with the other dogs, don't you think people make a judgment on you by the way your dog is behaving in these areas? If your dog's running around being a jerk, everyone just looks at you and goes, you can't handle your pet, can you? My massive German Shepherd is running around humping everyone like he's on spring break. I'm there going, whoa, I didn't teach him that. I don't even know what he's doing. I'm sorry. How is it it's law in Australia you have to pick up your dog's poo in the plastic bag? Is it law here? Yeah. You know what I saw the other day? I saw a lady pick up the poo in the plastic bag and then she attached it to her dog's collar. How cruel is that? Like the poor dog, imagine what the dog's thinking. Just walking around. Just... I'm trying to pick up bitches here and you've put a poo on my neck. It's not really helping my chances. How's it going to chat up to other dogs? Hey, how's it going? just a poo I did earlier. I thought I'd keep that right there. That does smell, doesn't it? I know. Well, you go around smelling butts all day. This horrifies you, does it?
CliffCentral.com.
Sure, after that phone call with Justin, I'm feeling quite emotional myself. I mean, that is just so tragic. We've got a couple of WeChat messages, and Daniela says he really, you know, he looks after cats, and now to have this happen, totally heartbreaking. And she says Jagamora is amazing. She's been there a few times, and it's absolutely stunning. So our thoughts are really with Justin, and, you know, let's hope something gets sorted out and he gets his cats back.
Yeah. I mean, I'm very concerned about the tigers, but I think my immediate concern is him. I mean, he's driving like a maniac to get back there. He's even broken down. I just hope he's going to be okay, but we will follow that up.
Shame. Tragedy. But let's change tact a little bit. I know we had a bit of a comedy clip which we'd planned earlier on, which we didn't realize
was about cats.
Yeah.
But I think these are household cats. You know, people understand.
Big difference. So now we've got Grant and Sonia in. They are from Champion Pet Foods, who do Arcana and Origin. And we're talking today specifically on aging animals. They do have specific needs. They are prone to things like arthritis, obesity, and a couple of other things. So, Grant, Sonia, thanks so much for joining us today.
Great to be here. Thanks. Telling us
more about... So, Sonia, what conditions do affect aging animals? And we're talking dogs and cats.
Well, as animal age, their systems in the body, they slow down. They're not as effective as they were before, and that comes with a price to their quality of life.
Mm.
So when you think of older animals, they're usually not as mobile as younger animals. Their coat condition tends to look worse. Some of them have are a bit senile, just like we see in senior yes. people as well. And there's a lot that can be helped with feeding these animals correctly. So,
okay.
so although these processes are normal, you know, as animals age, things will start to slowly break down. There's yes. a lot that you can do to either slow down that process or in some cases even reverse it as well. So,
oh, really? Mm. So you yeah. can actually reverse some
you
of
can,
these conditions?
You can reverse it. And we have a 15-year-old dog that lives at our office, actually. She mm. was a rescue, and we got her when she was 12. At the age of 12, she was in very poor condition
yes.
and very bad arthritis. She was overweight. She had skin conditions, and she actually couldn't stand up on her own. You had to pick her up,
oh.
and then she could run. Mm. And we actually still have this dog. She's now 15.
Really?
And that is really old for a dog. I
yeah.
mean, especially if it's a big dog.
Yeah, she's yeah. about a 25-kilogram dog. Well, now she's 25 kilograms.
Yes, yes.
She's a border collie cross something.
Okay.
You're not entirely sure.
I'm not sure yeah. what she yeah.
She's
a dog.
She's lucky
size,
she
yeah.
landed up where she did.
Hey? Right, yeah. right. sure. Because, yeah. yes, I mean, let's look at some of the aging, should we call it, side effects of aging. Mm. Firstly, let's look at obesity. I think older dogs are more prone to picking up weight. Am I right in saying that?
Yes, they are. Picking up weight is a cumulative process in any species. So mm. once your calorie intake is higher than what you're spending, yeah, you will tend to store that. Mm. So it is quite important to take into account how much your animal is moving and maybe try and walk the animal more and be more interactive with animals so that
yes.
there is a bit more movement in their life, and then adjusting the portion size that you feed those
okay,
dogs.
Okay, so
as
you
well.
Adjust so, the portion size.
Exactly.
Okay.
So, I mean, your best guide to whether you're feeding your dog too much or too little is the actual condition of the dog, because
right.
they're all individual. They, their metabolisms are different. The amount of exercise they do is different and so on. So you need to look at your dog and say, okay, where is this dog on a scale of 1 to 5?
Mm.
I think that's quite an important point. You know, we often get people saying, well, you know, we fed precisely according to your guide on
yes.
the back of the bag, and yet our dog is putting on weight or not putting on weight. And it's important to remember that, you know, there's a vast difference between an active dog. And I mean, you would know, we always relate everything back to humans.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you're training hard and you're running or you're doing something, you eat a hell of a lot
yeah,
more.
Your metabolism's mm. faster, right?
Yeah, you know, than when you're going through a sedentary patch. It's the same with dogs. So it really is a guide. And as Sonia says, the condition of the dog is really the true test of whether
yes.
it's getting what it needs. And
because obesity is a problem, I mean, not only with humans these mm. days, but with dogs mm. as well. Do you think that's people spoiling too many treats, all that mm. kind of thing?
I think it's two things. A lot of pet owners maybe feel a little bit guilty. They mm. don't spend enough time with their pets, so they tend to equate food with love.
Yes.
And, food is not love.
Yeah.
Right. That's Sonia's motto. Food is not love.
Food is not love.
Chocolate
is love.
Yeah. Not for your dog.
Not for the dog.
That's true. Not for a dog. Not for a dog.
So that's the one side, is that we don't maybe take into account all the extra calories we're giving to our pets as treats or toppers or, you know, a little bit off the human table after they already had their dinner and so on.
Yes.
And you know, everything obviously contributes to the calories ingested in a day. So if you are feeding these tidbits to your dog, additionally, you need to drop the portion size of the food that you're feeding
to
them as well.
To balance that out.
And you have maybe a 10% leeway, after which you maybe now start unbalancing the food, where you're getting maybe a little bit too much, you know, doggy junk food
mm-hmm.
in as part of their calorie intake.
Is it really the end of the world if your dog is a little bit
yes.
plump?
Is obesity a health risk?
It definitely is a health risk, and for people and for dogs and cats, obviously, as well. So we're quite used to thinking of you know, a little bit of extra padding that we have or the dogs have as an extra lunchbox, you know. So when you, in case you miss a meal, you dip in there and you use a little bit of the fat. But
it is winter after all.
Yeah,
sure. That's true. But actually, fat on its own is a metabolic organ. So if you have too much fat, it starts playing havoc on your metabolism, but also on your endocrine system. It's because your fat secretes hormones and, you know, all sorts of things that play a part in how your body works properly. And we're not like bears who are built to, you know, to get fat and then lose that while they hibernate and so on.
Sadly.
You know, that's,
sadly, we're not.
we're not like that. So it is a huge health risk. And you mentioned earlier that arthritis is also a big problem in senior animals as well. That's definitely true. And when you think about it, if you're carrying a lot of extra weight, it puts all that extra pressure and force on the joints as well. So it definitely is a health risk. So,
Sonia, we actually had a guest in last week who had a little pug from Pug Rescue with diabetes. Mm. And we were wondering, dogs, I mean, diabetes is also something that an aging dog is prone to. Do dogs get type 1 and type 2, or is it type 2?
It's an interesting question. Dogs get type 1 diabetes. So type 1 diabetes means that your pancreas is not secreting insulin.
Correct.
So it's, you know, there are many theories why this happens. We don't know exactly why, but it's definitely more common in obese animals. There is a link there. On the other hand, you're still better off managing a type 1 diabetic patient with a low carbohydrate diet, especially if that patient is also a carnivore, so it's closer to their natural diet as well.
Right.
Interestingly to that, cats normally get a type 2 diabetes, which is reversible with a nutritional change in 80%
of
cases.
So like with humans, the type 2, it's a lifestyle
problem. Yeah. And when you think about it, it makes sense. Most of our domestic cats are fed a very species inappropriate diet for them. Cats are obligate carnivores, yet most of the foods they're being fed are very high in carbohydrate, very high in grain content, and do not contain enough protein and fat and from meat for their optimal health. So, and that's actually how you reverse diabetes in cats, is feeding them the species appropriate diet.
Oh, really? And that can actually reverse the type 2.
Exactly.
That is so interesting because I wonder if, like humans, I know diabetes in humans is growing like you wouldn't believe.
Mm.
Do you see the same in animals?
We do, maybe to a lesser extent. Also, not all dogs and cats get diagnosed correctly, as we do with humans as well. So not because vets are not doing their job, but because they're not being seen by vets.
Yes. And I mean, signs of diabetes in a dog, would it be as per human weight loss, loss of condition, that sort of thing?
Weight loss, loss of condition, drinking a lot of water, constant urinating, but you'll pick it up that the dog is not feeling well. They're usually very off color. They're not feeling great.
And then of course they do usually, I think all the time, have to go into insulin injections, just like a human being.
Yeah, well, cats usually originally, while you balance their insulin curve, and then it can be managed with diet long term with many of those patients, not all of them, but many. With dogs, they almost always have to be on insulin.
Because
of the types of diabetes they have.
That's interesting, because you're also saying obesity has health risks. We're talking about fatty liver. They can also get that, can't they?
Yes, cats can get fatty liver disease. Well, basically, it's a problem in cats that are not fed enough protein. So when they're either in starvation mode or simply not fed enough protein in their diet, because what happens is the body mobilizes the fatty acids, but it cannot. And then in the liver, those fatty acids need to be repacked with protein in order to be shuttled around to the rest of the body for use as energy.
Yes.
But what happens is if a cat is starving or not being fed protein, is there no little vessels to attach the fatty acids to? So that's why it's a storage disease. So it's all mobilized to the liver, but there's no way to get it out of the liver. How that's reversed is, we used to think it was a terminal illness in cats, but subsequently it has been proven that you actually need to force feed those cats protein, in which case they can get shuttle the fat out of the liver.
Exactly. Okay. Because it's very involved. I get asked so often by people that call in, readers of the magazine, and they say, why can we not buy a bag of dog food and feed my cat as well, or a bag of cat food? But they can't. I mean, they're two different species, and they need different foods. Is it dangerous to feed a cat dog food or a dog cat food?
It depends on the cat food and the dog food.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, Origin Nakana, for example, our cat formulas and dog formulas are a lot closer than you would see in some other brands.
Yes.
So let's put it this way. So with cats being obligate carnivores and dogs being preferential carnivores, because most pet foods formulate for you know, profit return on food as well, they will be more closely formulated to meet minimum requirements as opposed to optimal requirements. So in that case, your dog food, because you can get away with lower amounts of meat in the formulation for the dog to survive on,
yes,
that formula will not be suitable for a cat who's an obligate carnivore whose minimum requirements are higher. So with most foods on the market, you could not feed a dog food to a cat because you will be shortchanging the cat on essential nutrients.
Okay, so long term, it's definitely not a good idea. Well, long term,
I find in my household that the dog is very interested in the cat's food. The cat couldn't give two hoots about the dog food.
Exactly, and that takes us back to the amount of meat that you'll find. Your cat foods have to be formulated with more meat in them. You know, with from an Origin and Connor point of view, we would argue that you would need to put in more than most pet foods do. But that's why your dog will always like the cat food, because it is actually a more meat-dense product, so it's tastier to a carnivore.
If you look at Origin, for example, both Origin dog food and cat food is 80% meat. So the percentage meat content in of those, in both dog and cat, is the same.
We get those calls that I'm really concerned because my cat has started eating the dog food. You know, how dangerous is this? But with the Origin, although we recommend that you feed the cat food preferentially, there's no danger to the cat snacking on a few dog kibbles.
Short term, I mean, if it's every now and again, I don't think.
In fact, my child, when he was growing up, he used to love the dog food.
Well, I think
he
used to at some point.
As a toddler, handfuls of the dog food and eat it. So, you know, and he's bigger strong today, so it did him no harm.
My mom told us we'd get worms if we did that.
Oh, really?
So I never tried.
I know people who swear by taking Bob Martin multivitamins. They swear that it helps with hair growth. And
that's either great marketing or maybe it works.
Maybe
it's
it
worth
works.
A try.
But Sonia, another effect of aging is, we were talking about arthritis. My dog was recently diagnosed with having arthritis, and we could see it. She's very stiff in the morning when she wakes up. When we take her for a walk, she lags, she's slower. She starts off great, but then doesn't get very far and then slows down. So we took her in, and they said, you know, early stages, but she's got arthritis. She's a bull terrier. Is that common in aging dogs? Is it more the small breeds or the larger breeds? Where's the prevalence there?
I think it's more noticeable in large breeds because they carry more weight. So for an owner, it would be much easier to notice if their Great Dane has slowed down. Percentage-wise, I would need to speak under correction, but I would assume that it is more prevalent in large breeds as well.
Okay.
So, but it's definitely a very common side effect of aging. The most important thing is how much weight the dog or cat is carrying, because the more weight, as we were saying previously, the dog or cat is carrying, the more pressure it's putting on the joints. So that's the number one rule. If your dog is struggling to move or already has been diagnosed with arthritis, is to get the excess weight off the animal.
So that's step one.
That's step one, and you'll see a big difference with reducing their weight to the leaner side of optimal. So you want them to be still, you know, in optimal condition, but carrying as little weight as they can while remaining in good condition. So.
Sonia, do they need to be on long-term medication for arthritis? I know I've got it on a natural supplement, and the name escapes me, chondrosamine, something like that?
Are you thinking of chondroitin and glucosamine?
That's it.
Sure.
That's it.
You're close.
Put it together.
So what chondroitin and glucosamine are basically the building blocks of joints. So before we get to those, your next step after looking after the weight of the animal, so getting the structural damage out of the way that you continue to impose on the dog, is to have a look at the anti-inflammatories. So anti-inflammatories help stop the further destruction or slow down the further destruction of the joint. Okay. So what really helps there is omega-3s. So other than looking at a weight restriction diet, is looking for a diet that is anti-inflammatory. So you're looking for high amounts of omega-3s, but you need the right omega-3s. So dogs and cats, being carnivores, they're not very efficient at converting plant omega-3s like flaxseed oil into EPA and DHA, which are kind of the active form of omega-3s in their bodies. So the best form to give them those anti-inflammatories is with fish oil, so, or with using a food that is formulated with fish oil
with
already
fish oil in
it. Okay. So something like Origin 6 fish, which as the name indicates is six different kinds of fish, will have, you know, some of, if not the highest EPA and DHA levels on the market, even though it's not sold as a prescription joint food as such. It will have very good anti-inflammatory effect on the body.
Okay, I'm going to be this guy. What if you gave them the human capsule that you take for omega-3? Would that...
That would also work.
Really?
You've got... it's the same thing. So you're giving them fish oil.
Okay,
it's
cool.
Fish oil
or krill oil or, algae.
So would it be best to give them the capsule in its entirety or to sort of break it open and put it in their food?
Depends how much your dog likes fish.
I was just going to say, have you tasted those capsules?
Really? Yeah, I know. Sometimes they repeat on you throughout the day. Okay.
But I think it's probably easier for a lot of owners to get the food and with it in, because then you don't forget, you don't get the dosage wrong and so on.
But then on top of it, to give the...
It is possible.
The stuff you mentioned. I'm not going to even try and pronounce it.
Well, that's why we stick to shorthand. EPA, DHA, very long names otherwise. So that helps with the anti-inflammatory effect. Also, low carbohydrate foods are less inflammatory than foods that contain a lot of carbohydrate. Mm. If you speak to your friends that have arthritis as well, they almost always have a flare-up of a joint issue if they've, had a big bust out, a lot of beer, a lot of cake the day before. So that's another interesting one. Plus, as your protein goes up, your carbohydrate goes down, and the higher protein then helps you with muscle mass retention. And with more muscle mass, those muscles that are fit and strong take over a lot of the pressure off the joints.
Yes.
So if you have dogs with hip dysplasia or arthritis or so on, the fitter they are with better muscling, the more pressure there will be on the joint capsule itself.
Okay. So. And would you still need to have them on anti-inflammatory drug, or can you manage arthritis just with the right diet?
You can manage a lot of arthritic cases with the right diet, because what the prescription drugs do is they're painkillers.
Mm.
So if your dog is sufficiently comfortable where he doesn't need an additional medication on top of that, there's then no benefit of such of dosing him with medication, because it doesn't fix the problem. It masks the problem.
That's what I was wondering. And also I wonder about the long-term use.
Exactly.
Of
it's a painkiller. So ideally you don't want to be on a long-term painkiller, but of course in those situations where the dog is really not comfortable enjoying life, then it's worth the risk.
Yes.
So, but
and I've heard of other alternative therapies like aquatherapy and massage and that sort of thing as well.
Well, when you think about it, what aquatherapy does, it helps you rebuild those muscles and the fitness of the muscles around the joints without putting pressure on the joint itself.
Yes.
So it takes us back to having, as fit a dog as possible.
Right. And that's easier, I suppose, if you've got an elderly, overweight dog with arthritis, you don't want to take it for a jog around the block.
No, you can't start there.
Exercise is important, but I suppose you have to tailor it to that dog's current situation.
Exactly. And then the glucosamine and chondroitin, which you mentioned. Mm. So those are the building blocks of joints. So once you've sorted out the structural damage and the inflammation that's happening in the joint, then you want to rebuild those joints with glucosamine and chondroitin. But it's it's a better management tool than it is a reversal tool, because yes. there are point past which a joint cannot be repaired again.
No, sure. So,
if your dog has arthritis, could it be that it was sort of in its genes to get it, or was it a dietary deficiency or whatever the case may be?
Lifestyle.
It's usually in the genes. So basically what it means is not that a dog will necessarily get arthritis, but if the joint is not formed correctly or the angles are not right, because the wear and tear on the joint is not as it should be by perfect design in a dog, you're more likely to end up with damage long term. So that's why, you know, sportsmen often get arthritis in joints yes. they've hurt, you know, playing rugby and so on. So from that point of view, yes, obviously breeds where that where that design has kind of veered a lot away from the original dog design. So German Shepherds with very slopy backs, you know,
yes.
what we call frog legs. So back legs that, you know, that look like frog legs,
right,
basically,
right.
which is why it's called. Obviously, those breeds will be much more susceptible because, you know, the design puts unnatural pressures on their joints.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And now another thing that comes up often that affects older dogs is dental health. Mm. They, like us, they get bad teeth, they get rotten teeth, they get gum disease, that sort of thing. Is that something that nutrition can help with as well?
To a point. At Origin and Econa, Champion Pet Foods in particular, we do not have a dental diet, predominantly because we don't find the current studies that we have sufficient proof that you can clean teeth with kibble as such.
Yes.
So the effect is there, but it's minimal.
Okay.
And the reason for that is when you think of the kind of density of a kibble, it's basically like a cracker. So it's the equivalent of me telling you that you don't have to brush your teeth anymore.
Just eat a cracker.
Just eat a cracker because the abrasion will clean
yes,
your teeth.
Yes.
And, you know, so the effect there is quite minimal. Where you do see a lot of cleaning action through food or things that are ingested is if your dogs chew on raw hides or bones or something that is much, much harder and which they spend, you know, hours literally chewing because it keeps their interest, the flavor and so on.
And what about things like a carrot? I know, give my dogs a carrot to eat or an apple, something like that. Would that help?
Again, when you think about the density of a carrot or apple and how long they spend eating it, it's not very long. So, unfortunately, the best way to clean the dog's teeth is the same way it is to clean your teeth, and that is
with
the brush and toothpaste. But you need to do it frequently enough, otherwise,
but how do you rinse it? Because a human knows to put the water in the mouth and spit it out, and the dog. What do you do?
I think I need to clarify here. You need to use a dog toothpaste, which is edible.
Okay. Just glad we got that.
And its own toothbrush, Jono.
Okay. Right.
And don't share toothbrushes.
So glad you told me that.
But tell me, Sonia, I saw there was a lot being said last week on social media. This sort of post was going around everywhere talking about the extreme dangers of rawhide.
Mm.
And, I mean, I've never given my dogs rawhide. I don't like the smell. I don't like where it comes from. But this was saying that rawhide can cause blockages.
It definitely can.
Also, do you agree with that? That it's not the best idea for a treat?
It's kind of like everything in life. Everything comes with pluses and minuses.
Sure.
So on the one hand, you have the great, dental effect of having something solid for a dog or cat to chew, more dog, obviously with rawhides. On the other hand, you have the potential dangers. So with rawhide, one of the main problems is that if you leave the dog with the entire rawhide and he eats three quarters of it and there is, you know, a piece of it left over, that a lot of dogs will swallow that.
Yes,
and that's what
swallow
causes
it whole.
That's what causes the blockage. So I think the lesson here is that you need to choose the right rawhide size for your dog. So you can't give a Great Dane something that's, you know, Chihuahua sized, which he will swallow whole, because that definitely can cause a blockage. The same goes with bones as well. Also, bones have the additional problem of potentially splintering. This is more common in cooked bones than in raw bones, but it also depends on the personality of your dog. You have many dogs that have eaten bones their entire life. They started as puppies. They daintily clean them of everything that's edible and leave the actual bone, or you have those that swallow the thing whole.
Yes.
So you need to know the dog you're dealing with. The problem, additional problem with rawhide is that a lot of them are sourced from the tanning industry and not from the food industry. They're treated with chemicals, they're dyed and so on. So you also need to carefully choose the quality of rawhide you're prepared to give your dog as well.
Yes, that was what they were mentioning, the chemicals that go in there, the preservatives and you know, everything.
Yeah, Sharon, I was going to say we've just got back from a visit to Canada to the Champion Pet Food Kitchens in Alberta, and part of that visit was popping into pet stores and some of their bigger pet retailers in Canada, and it was quite interesting for us to see, you know, the things that Canadian pet retailers, how they position themselves.
That must have been interesting.
And one of the things was that shops would distinguish themselves by saying we don't stock rawhide. Big signs on the outside.
Really?
This is a no rawhide store. So it is a big issue, and you know, in a place like Canada,
yes,
it's been a big issue for a while, and they're taking a stand on it. So
no, absolutely, you know, absolutely.
The jury's out, really, but it, you know, it is interesting to see the way that they decided to
and
go.
And it will get you, I think, eventually, if the states is already waking up to the dangers.
It does, yeah.
It will get there, and it also it raises the bar that if what the consumers are now looking for is you know, rawhide that comes from the food industry, that's not treated with chemicals, that's treated as food throughout its process.
Yes.
You know, that's not left with the dog unsupervised, and I think that's a good point with any kind of chew foods or treats or toys you leave with your dog, that, you know, they really should be supervised. You know, I think it's a good thing because it raises all the standard of the industry.
The same applies to the hooves that you get. Are they safer marginally or same thing? I give them to my dogs because I don't like the smell. Mm. They go all gungy. They would love to have them. And also probably because we don't eat meat in our house, and to have that there just puts me off. Are they safer though?
I personally don't think so.
Really?
So with our dogs, what they have had access to is actually rawhide, supervised rawhide, big rawhide, and rawhide that comes with full traceability from the human food industry. The problem with hoofs is that because of the sharp angles on them, a lot of your dogs can actually get the hoof between their top and bottom teeth, in which case the hoof is stronger than a lot of their teeth, and you get teeth splintering in dogs. So that is you know, quite painful to the dog and quite painful to your wallet to sort out as well.
But now, what would be the best thing for them? I know that what I've done is I've got a bull terrier and a pit bull cross. So I get them the big, big marrow bones that they'll spend hours, you know, chewing on it and then eventually hiding it and digging it a hole in the garden. Are those better? A natural bone that you yourself give it to them raw?
Depends on the dog.
Again, okay.
Yeah. We've tried a product that's a stag horn.
Oh, yes, right.
Which is the most amazing substance. It's incredibly hard. They chew on, I mean, we've had them for almost 6 months, and our dogs chew on them almost daily. They wear them down incredibly slowly, and, I mean, I'm baffled by what the substance actually is and the structure of it, because, you know, nothing else has lasted this long. We've got some big chewers at home, and they've barely made a dent.
In fact, we are hoping to get the people into studio that actually do the stag, because my first instinct was... the poor deer, but no, apparently these are the horns that they shed.
Yes.
Oh, wow, that's awesome.
So no deer was hurt in the manufacturing
process
of this chew toy, and it really does last an incredible amount of time. It's incredibly hard, but it seems to have, when they start chewing it, it develops a
softening.
There's a bit of a softening with the moisture of the saliva. So it doesn't seem to damage their
teeth. It must give off some sort of taste for them to chew on it for that long. There must
be
some appeal.
Yeah.
You know, 6 months down the line.
So that would be a very interesting discussion.
Yeah.
In fact, I think I was just looking at in our previous issue, we had a little article in on the staghorns. I actually must go and get some for my dogs, because that sounds much better.
They're not particularly cheap, but if you look at the cost per chew.
But if it lasts, as you say, it's the length that lasts.
I think it's actually good value for money.
And then going back to aging, another sign of aging obviously is lack of condition of the coat. Do dogs and cats, can they lose hair like human beings? Is it something that their coat condition also goes downhill as they get older?
Not necessarily. And I think that's something that we're seeing now as we're getting more and more senior dogs that are fed Origin in particular, but Akana as well, is that a lot has changed in the thinking of optimal feeding of senior animals. So where before the opinion was that you need to drop the protein content of senior animal diets in order to preserve their kidneys, we've now made a radical 180% turn the other way, where it's now a standard that you need to increase the amount of protein you feed senior animals. And obviously your hair and skin condition and so on, it's made up out of protein.
Yes, so
you'll
that
see,
will improve.
You'll definitely but see an improvement
kidney,
in their condition.
Renal failure is another side effect of aging. So would that not affect that then?
Well, protein does not cause the initial damage or the progression of renal disease. What happens, though, is with animals with already existing kidney failure, and here we're talking with where more than 75% of both kidney function is gone. So your kidneys are, you know, built with a huge capacity, a huge reserve to processing. So what kidneys do is basically they're the sewer system of the body. So they get rid of all the byproducts of protein digestion, but digestion of other nutrients as well. So what happens with those failing kidneys is that they can no longer effectively get rid of those byproducts at a rate that they need to. So the animal feels ill. But it's not the protein itself that damaged the kidneys originally or caused further damage to the kidneys when fed. So in those cases, of course, you need to then give them, you know, the amount of protein they can handle.
Yes.
But it does come at a price at the condition of the rest of the dog. So, but with healthy animals, and as I said, you have a huge reserve of kidney function.
Yes.
They absolutely do better on a higher protein or a carbohydrate diet, which is, you know, species appropriate for dogs of all ages.
Yes. So tell me, older dogs, should they be eating smaller amounts more often? Or can they, you know, like middle-aged dogs, younger dogs, have one meal a day or two meals a day?
No, they don't necessarily need to eat more often. Twice a day is usually a good schedule for
most animals.
Is that
ideal?
Not
twice a day, not once a day?
Well, once a day, when you think about it, you know, you're going to be very hungry before you get your next day's meal because you've gone for 24 hours without food.
Yeah.
So we find that most owners, it fits well into their schedule because they can feed them before they go to work and when they come back from work. It works quite well. Also, you're feeding them smaller portions as well. So, you know, there's less maybe. It's easier for the digestive system to handle, you know,
less
smaller amount
of bloat
of food,
and stomach torsion.
Less torsion.
Exactly. So
no, absolutely.
You can feed them 3 times a day, but a lot of people, I think, find that impractical.
We were thinking the other day with the load shedding, at least the dogs don't have to worry. You don't have to cook for them.
Yeah.
They never have a worry. They don't have to eat cheese rolls and old potato salad.
I think they would love it either way.
Probably, probably. And Sonia, before we let you go, anything else that people should be aware of with older dogs as they age? Anything that they should be changing in terms of diet, exercise, general lifestyle of the dog? I know one of the things dear to me is that they do feel the cold more. So in winter, I just feel so sorry for these old dogs that are outside.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure they do. I'm sure older people feel the cold more, so it stands to reason that dogs would. Am I right?
No, of course. Of course. If you're cold, your dog is cold.
Sure.
It's quite as simple as that. So, so I think, you know, the older dogs, they're more sensitive. They may be less adaptable to change, so they're going to be more affected if there's change in the family dynamic or one of their, you know, friends dies and so on. So, so you need to be... You need to be cognizant of that, that they, you know, they need more care and more of your love. They've devoted their entire life to you. And
absolutely.
I think you need to be there for their last couple of years when they need more specialized care than maybe they were, you know, young and happily running around.
I mean, one of the big things that Sonia does very well is that as our dogs age, she takes them in for geriatric checkups at the vet, not when something goes wrong, but as a preemptive checkup to make sure that we try and catch things earlier before they become a bigger issue for
the
dogs.
That's a good idea,
and that's a good suggestion.
That is
a few
a good
other
idea.
Suggestions. Again, things that we do at home is we make sure that the older dogs don't have high beds to climb up onto or into. Yes. But at the same time, we make sure that the bed is sufficiently comfortable, that they don't, you know, that they're not on a hard floor.
Not too close to the
softer
ground.
Surfaces for the joints. Keep them warm. Keep them out of cold wind and so on.
I mean, it's common sense, really. I know you can get those pet stairs. They say stairs. I mean, I know people who live in cluster complexes that are upstairs and downstairs, and these little old doggies do struggle with it. So just keep that in mind.
Oftentimes I find with the older dogs I've had, they find getting on the couch, getting off, then you kind of have to help them.
It's very sad. They say the one... Dogs are faultless. The only fault they have is that they don't live long. Yeah. That's the sad part.
Yeah. Exactly.
Because I think, what is it, maximum, we're talking about 15, 16 years? And mind you, I've heard of an 18-year-old.
I've heard of a very small dog who was 18, 19, very small dog, so lucky buggers.
No, sure.
Well, our old Border Collie is, Cross, is 15 now, so
we'll keep you posted.
And still going strong, still fit, healthy.
She's still very mobile, still very happy with life.
Who can
life.
Do the maths? Times by 7?
Times 7.
15 times 7. Anybody know? 7?
Yeah, 105.
Wow.
Yep. So she's doing well.
So really, they are awesome dogs. And just a reminder that there are so many of these golden oldies in shelters countrywide. People really adopt the old dogs, and they really deserve a good life for the twilight years.
And they're often the most loving.
And they're the most loving. Mm. So please go out there.
And they come house trained.
And usually, but they're most loving. Yes. No, so please, if you're looking to give an oldie a home, get hold of your local shelter. Well, we run out of time again today. I'm sure John is going to follow up on the previous call from Justin, and we'll let you know next week what's going on. In the meantime, you have a good week further, and as we usually say, give all your pets a love from us.
CliffCentral.com.